Tell us about your idea. This is Rodeo Time with Dale Brisby. This is Rodeo Time with Dale Brisby. We're here in the El Matador Inn,
which is short for the Bullfighter Inn.
Yeah, the Bullfighter Inn.
Right.
Home of Cody Webster.
And maybe Smash. It's not short. Maybe it's just AKA translated? The Bullfighter Inn translated.
Translation.
I don't know how they come out the short way, but anyways.
Yeah. So, we're in San Antonio,
Texas.
Texas, of course. Halfway through. Tell us how it's going so far.
12 or 13 was just like literally 30 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Great perf. Good bull riding. Although they didn't ride a single bull, but it was still a good bull riding. A lot of action for us.
Bulls?
10 bulls plus a freestyle bull.
I gotta put this mic down. This is the first time I've done this with this mic, so I'm gonna set it.
Yeah,
right.
So this is live.
This is
not scripted. It's not
redos.
Brought to you.
Yeah.
We don't even have a producer. We just produce ourselves.
Yeah. We're just doing it. We're just rodeoing. What? So tell me about your idea.
So, I don't know why, but I just got this fabulous idea that. You want me to spill the beans?
Yeah, spill the beans.
Okay.
Let us know.
Spill the beans.
That way the Winnebago can keep us accountable.
So basically, this idea that I've got is it's an all-in high-stakes poker game on the beach. Literally on the beach.
Which, I love the idea.
But it's not just your regular
poker game. I love the idea of like a poker game. I just don't know if I love the idea of me being one of the ones playing poker.
Dude, come on.
Because some of you guys
I thought you were so honest we could shoot dice over the phone.
I know, that's what. I'm being honest right now. If I'm being honest, I don't know how I feel about playing poker with you in a rodeo arena. For those of you that don't know what we're talking about, he's talking about bull poker.
No. I'm talking about a legit poker game. High stakes, all in the beach.
Right.
And then maybe, possibly, a cow or a bull gets loose that might get us. I don't know.
Exactly. Yes.
But, dude, we got to be willing to take a hit to get the footage. Like,
so, usually it's take a hit for the cowboy. Now it's take a hit for the gram.
For the gram.
For the YouTube. Yeah.
The videos. The views. You guys out there.
I love your commitment to, when you get down to it, entertainment.
Dude, that's what it's about. I mean, we're here at San Antonio. We got like 20 performances of fighting bulls. We're not getting paid any extra for that. That's for the fans.
Yeah.
Straight up, freestyle bullfighting for the fans.
I'm not saying no. I'm not saying no.
Dude, it's not, DV, like, I know there's all kinds of smoke and mirrors, but in this deal here, you're not getting on a bucking barrel, old son.
Because, like, you raise fighting bulls. Like, you know. Like, what your toned-down version of, like, this one's not so bad is still going to be really bad.
But it's a chance we have to take in order to get the right shot. You know about all the shots.
Yeah. Well, we're only going to do it once. I know that.
One take, one time.
Okay, so me, you... Imagine Donnie would do it. We could talk Donnie.
Donnie Daytona would definitely be in.
I don't know who else.
Wes.
Wes probably wouldn't want to do it.
How about if he didn't have a choice?
Yeah. I mean,
what about Cheech?
Cheech might. I would say, dude, I don't know.
Like, Cheech would be a guy, I think.
I think Cheech knows enough about the game that he might not do it. That's the thing.
Well,
Wes might do it because, well, no, he's been on enough bulls. He's educated enough.
I don't know. It's been running around in a cage.
Leroy definitely ain't doing it. I bet Randy would do it before Cheech did.
I think we'd get Randy Q in for sure.
But we need Randy to film.
I'll take a spot.
What do you guys think out there? Tweet us. Hit us up on MySpace. Let us know. Bull poker. Have you ever played it before? Like as a...
No, I've been in the ring of fear, but I've never been at the card table.
Yeah.
Ever.
Worst hooking you've seen?
Some really bad ones. Really, really gnarly.
At bull poker.
Yeah. Like, I'm talking
leave
massacres.
Unconscious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, probably makes, like, 60 minutes, something like that.
Okay, have you ever, this, we're about to get real right now. Have you ever seen anybody die in the rodeo arena?
I have not.
Yeah.
And I hope I never do. Yeah. But it is a part of our
game. Well, you just, the way you said really bad, that's what made me ask that.
No.
Just didn't know how bad.
But like, making 60 minutes or, you know, Untamed and Uncut. Yeah. It's been on there. Look it up.
Bull Untamed poker. And Uncut.
Yeah.
You were there?
No, but I seen it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It was bad.
It was real bad. How many years have you worked in San Antonio?
I don't know. Just a couple.
Yeah.
9 or 10, I think.
What's your favorite rodeo to work?
Hey, you're going to pin me down and put the pressure on.
Yeah, that's kind of a...
Man!
Tell me about your year. Just walk me through your year right now, 2020. What's it look
like? To where we've been now?
Yeah.
Or,
like, just kind of your rodeo schedule.
Well, 19's last year.
Right. But, I'm saying, yeah. Like, since that one already happened. Either one, 19 or 20.
I mean, I don't know. Things is, my schedule's got to change quite a bit, getting on full-time with the PBR, and then transition, still wanting to rodeo full-time as well. So, no, 2020, we started out in New York City, went to Chicago, overnighted to Denver, Denver to Manchester, New Hampshire to Sacramento, California, from there to Oklahoma City, and then we overnighted straight down here to San Antonio.
And that was all in January.
That was January, yeah. Yeah, been on the trail with Webb.
Yeah.
But, no, I got some really great rodeos, man. I mean, San Antonio, obviously, you know, 22 performances of rodeo here. 16,000 to 18,000 fans a night. The premier stock of our industry. Yeah. Everybody from Calgary Stampede to Frontier Rodeos here. So it's a really, really good rodeo. That many performances with that big of a crowd every night is kind of unheard of. But, man, I really like San Antonio. I really like Reno, Nevada. That's one of my new favorites.
Yeah.
Just on the fact that it's 10 performances. It's in the desert. You know, during the day, it's really beautiful, pretty warm. But night drops, temperatures go down. It's kind of like a Friday night football game. You know, you're feeling good, but it's still kind of chilly and a huge crowd every night. And then transition over to Cheyenne Frontier Days. That's another one that I really, really like. It's all day performances. Have your whole evening to enjoy the day. And like I said, it's a premier rodeo. So about anywhere that I get to go now is just, it's the very best rodeos in the business. So just dream living, man. It's good stuff.
When you leave in the summertime, how long are you gone from the house?
Oh, Ashley and I, we'll pack the trailer first, second week of June. I always go to Cleburne, Texas, right there at the start of June. It's a rodeo that I've had since my permit, so I think this will be my 11th or 12th year going there this year, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's the only rodeo that I've had since my permit, so that's kind of the reason I like to keep going there, back to my roots, you know.
What was that, 09?
08? I don't know, whatever.
12
years ago was.
Yeah, something like that.
So, transition, we'll pack the trailer first, second week of June, and we roll out. We start off a rodeo summer run, for Rumford summer run, hashtag. Go to Reno, and then from Reno, we hit a bunch of rodeos and basically be gone almost all of June, all of July, and almost all of August. So 3 months for the summer in the trailer, gone. The winter run, you know, is right now, so we'll come down, hit San Antonio, leave here, go to Rodeo Houston. So basically in the trailer for another 2 months on this run. So 5 months of the year, we're in the Matador Inn and just living.
Yeah. So you go to a rodeo, you're there for 4 days. Unlike, you know, the actual contestants that go in, they're there for one perf, they leave.
Out, boom, yeah. Running, gunning.
Do you like that? Compared to, I mean, would you rather just...
No, I like it. I mean, I really do. I like being able to take my trailer and Ashley and be able to set up camp, so to say, for a couple of days and just hang out and enjoy life, man. I mean,
yeah.
Staying at the rodeo grounds, getting to, you know, it's something that I've wanted to do ever since I was just a kid. So there's no bad days, I know that much. It's all positive. It's all fun. And Not to mention it's like 110 degrees in Oklahoma during the summer, so getting to go to like Wyoming for all of July, it's pretty bomb.
You were talking about you got hurt the other day. You didn't get hurt the other day. You were telling me this story the other day. You got hurt, like, what were you, 17? Whenever you started.
Yeah.
What happened? How'd you get hurt?
Big bad bull got me.
Big bad bull. Yeah. Had to be a big one. Like, what? But then, you still got to pay the bills. What'd you do?
Well, to start off, so I was 17, I think is what we're getting at.
Yep.
About the bullfights. 17, going to... yeah, go ahead. Take your shirt
off. Dude, I'm hot.
No big deal. 17, getting rolling. Go to Rex Dunn's World Championship Bullfights right there in Ada, Oklahoma. Freestyle bullfights. You know, there wasn't anything then that would scare me. It was just getting to be a bullfighter, getting to go to this such a historic event, and going there and put together three awesome, awesome bullfights on some really big rank fighting bulls, Rex Dunn's. And... I mean, we were dang sure bruised up leaving there, but next day, Sunday, you know, we're going to my grandma and grandpa's where we have our, where I kind of started was my, our practice, weekly practices there at the practice pen, and they ended up building on a roping pen connected to the bull riding pen. So we're going to all gather up and rope that next evening, Sunday afternoon, and we're kind of waiting on everybody to get there. Everybody's dragging their feet. So a couple of my little cousins are around. So we pushed all the steers up into the bucking pen and we load them, and kids are getting on them, and pretty soon they get thrashed a couple times and get pretty weak, so we kind of put the kibosh on bucking anymore. Well, there's one big heifer left, roping heifer. She's huge.
Yeah,
not really, maybe 450 pounds, but anyhow, say the least, they taught me into getting on her. I'm like, shoot, I'll get on her, no big deal. Slick rowels, you know, just ready to go to spurn on one. And flank rope, slide and ride, and man, she kicks right out of there, and I go right over the dashboard, land right in front of her, and like, she wasn't mean or nothing, but she's just bucking and trying to get away from me. So when she turned to go right away from me, she kicked, and her back feet, both back feet came up, and then bam, come down, snapped my leg. Of course, I know my leg's broke. Go and get x-rays. Yeah, your leg's broke. Put it in the cast. Set out for however long, and come back to a little practice pen, you know, a couple months later, whatever it was, and which was too soon, no doubt there's too soon, but yeah. 17, just, you can't keep me out of the arena. So we were, go to a practice pen, and I go to step around this little pretty white muley, just no horns, no danger, just easy. Yeah. And dude, my ankle, like, literally touched the side of my calf.
Oof.
And I was like, dang, something ain't right. Well, I ended up re-breaking that bone again. So, me being 17-year-old goofball, I thought, yeah, I just need to set out, let this bone heal, go get an x-ray. Yeah, it's broke, cast it, set out for however many months again. And next thing I know, get rolling again. But at this point, I'm taping it and putting on a big heavy-duty ankle brace. And getting around, you know, fighting bulls, but just kept feeling like I was dragging a weight behind me, like I could never get over that whatever it was. So I'm like, man, I just need to work out harder, I need to get it strengthened more and go on to the next one, you know. So we're working out, we're getting ready for these bullfights coming up, and still, like, I had to change my whole game. Like, I had to start throwing, if I wanted to throw a right hand fake on a bull, I would have to cross over and throw it off my left leg backwards. Yeah. So I had to throw everything off my left leg. So if I was going right, I'd cross over backwards, throw it backwards. If I was going to throw a left-hand fake, throw a left-hand fake. But all my weight was coming on my left leg. And we're going to this bullfight. It was with Nathan Harp. We're headed to Stephenville, Texas for a freestyle bullfight. And I went and got an MRI the week before that just to kind of find out what the heck's going on with my ankle, you know. So anyhow, we're going to Stephenville and get a call from Dr. Bob in Oklahoma, and he says, hey Cody, it's Dr. Bob. Yes sir, how's it going? Oh good, how are you? I said, oh, we're headed to a bullfight, I'm gonna go try to win a little money this evening. He said, well, hate to tell you this, but we need to look at doing surgery immediately.
Dang.
I was like, what are you talking about? I've been going to some events again, been training, entered in the bullfights that night, It's like, what are you talking about? What do you mean surgery immediately? He said, well, you don't have a ligament one left in your ankle.
Dang.
And the way my foot was shifted and everything, like taping it and everything was keeping it stable where it wouldn't roll, but my bones were eating away at my Achilles tendon. So my Achilles was almost 8.5 from training and, you know, going so long without my ankle constructed. So I didn't know what else to do. We went to the bullfight, ended up second over the night, won a pretty good check, and Tuesday morning was under the knife and having surgery.
Yeah. So, when's the cotton candy come in?
Cotton candy. So,
is that when you started?
Yeah, yeah. That's why I got the cotton candy machine.
So I hadn't heard that part. Yeah. I just heard about the cotton candy.
Yeah, so, you know, 17, you know, won some money at that bullfight that night, but having surgery, being out for that many months before thinking I broke my leg, you know, long story short, I was out for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Dang near half the year, 8 months or whatever. Then I have surgery. Well, I'm out for another, like, 4 months with surgery, you know. And so, I mean, I'm talking a year of
rehab, getting back.
Therapy, trying to, between the whole injury from start to finish was about a year. So, I mean, I'd made a check or two here and there in the midst of all that, but not enough to live off of, you know.
Right.
And 17, you know, I didn't have a lot of bills, but phone bill, truck bill, feed bill, whatever was going on at the time. So kind of started brainstorming, didn't know what to do, and got some ideas. And then we were also still going to all these junior rodeos at this point. We go fight bulls for the junior kids every weekend that we wasn't busy somewhere. You know, a lot of them were Sunday afternoon deals. So, you know, we'd go fight bulls for them after a night of fighting bulls somewhere else on Friday, yeah. Saturday. So I was like, shoot, I'm going to go into cotton candy business. So get on the Craigslist, find a cotton candy machine down by Dallas. There's a double-headed machine. It's a real nice machine.
Dang.
Went and picked that baby up. When I give them the money for that, I was completely broke then. Like, I had no money in my name. And was trying to do leather work, trying to do this and that, just to try to have some food to eat on, basically. And long story short, ended up going to the old junior rodeos with the cotton candy machine. And what do you know? You give a kid a little bit of sugar, I mean, like, they eat it up, dude.
Literally.
And so, 1 for 3, 2 for 5 at the old junior bull riding. And, dude, we went to rolling in the cash.
What's the most you made in one night?
Most I made in one night, I think, is about $900.
Yeah.
And that's dang good. Yeah, that's way more than I was making fighting bulls at the junior rodeo.
That's good for anybody any age.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what, did you ever feel like guilty? Like, it was just going so good? You just, like,
absolutely not, dude. I was sitting there, had my ankle or my leg propped up on a chair, standing there one-legged, and was whirling cotton candy. Like, did I feel bad? No.
Yeah.
Not at all. And, like, $6 of sugar will make a lot of cotton candy.
Yeah.
And banana, the banana flavor was the hit. That was the biggest hit.
Dang. I don't know if I've ever had banana cotton candy.
It was
I would always get the blue one.
It was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me about, like, what's the difference in the... So, Cody Webster, in case y'all don't know, he gets to fight. He's one of maybe the only guy, definitely the only guy that fights that many PBRs and PRCA, big shows. PBR finals and the NFR. There's been a few guys do it. Nobody do it this consistent.
Not this long.
Recently.
No.
At least, you know, not in a while.
No, there's been some guys got to do it for a couple years, but I think 6-7 years running now is pretty unheard of. And
so tell me, what's the difference in, like, the atmosphere behind the shoots at the PBR events, bigger PBR events, compared to, like, even the bigger pro shows? Or is there a difference?
Man, I mean, not really a big difference. I mean, everybody's there for the same goal. It's to ride their bull and make some money, you know.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a different crowd, I would say. You know, there's just all kinds, you know. There's really good guys that want to show up and do their job and take care of business. And there's guys that want to have a little more fun than others, you know. But at the end of the day, just being able to be in the mix of both places – it doesn't matter if I'm at a PBR, if I'm at a pro rodeo, or if I'm at the practice pen. If I'm getting to fight bulls, man, it's what I love. I mean, it's the love of the game that drives me.
I'll show up and help my friends at them deals, but usually I'm going to, like, that bigger stuff.
The bigger ones.
Yeah. Like, right. the bigger.
More added money.
Bull riding's. Yeah. So
more fireworks.
Yeah. We cross paths, like, at these deals where I'll have a booth.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Every now and then, you know, I'm just...
Like, this is one of the top PRCA rodeos in the business here at San Antonio, yeah. But you've got a booth here.
I might enter one day if I have an off day or something, you know, but kind of dip down to, like, practice, build my confidence.
We call that ducking off.
Yeah, if my... Yeah.
Like, if you kind of duck off and just go make a little money, no one
well,
knows
see, I
about
forgot,
it.
I forgot it was called that because I don't ever do it, you know, because I don't ever need to, but, like, right. If there ever comes a time where I need to, I might duck off to San Antonio or Cheyenne or,
yeah,
you know, PBR World Finals or something.
If the added money's there.
Are you sad you're missing the Global Cup?
Man, it does. I mean, wish you could be in both places at the same time, but not really. I mean, getting to, just like I said, be here for 23 performances, getting to freestyle bulls again for fun, having fun with it, and...
Your bulls.
Hanging out. Yeah.
Do you feel like that's been an advantage or a disadvantage?
Definitely feel like it's a... There's a lot more pressure to say, because I mean all the weight's on the fighting bull at the end of the show. You know, I mean it's kind of the hype, the high end sell for the whole night of rodeo. So if we go out there and have a dud, not only does it put a damper on the show, but it also doesn't look good on me because there are bulls. You know, obviously. So I mean there is pressure there. It makes me really want to step up and take care of these young bulls and really get them captured.
They've all
and
done
started.
Good though, right?
We've had a really good run of bulls. We've got four more outs here, and overall, man, it's been really, really successful.
And it's Crooked Horn
Ranch fighting bulls.
Yeah,
check them out. Instagram, yeah.
Twitter, TikTok,
and Rodeo Red 86, the one we fought today, is actually the one that you fought there at the beach.
Yeah, I let him hook me to give a little bit of
confidence.
Yeah, Randy just posted that on his Instagram.
Yeah, just the other day. That's pretty good timing, actually.
Actually, yeah. I wonder if he knew.
Rodeo Red's had two outs here. His first out was phenomenal. Really good, really hot. Today, I kind of had to kickstart him. I had to go get in his face and really make him hook up. We ended up getting a good sale. He did hook the crap out of Mitchell Gardner, the dummy. So, it's a pretty good show.
Has Rump got hooked yet? Got a horn in the barrel yet?
He does. He's actually got a really big bruise across his shoulder chest area.
Has he been milking it?
One, yeah. He's pretty hard to... He's a sissy. For really? Big of a guy as he is, he is.
That's what I would think that about him. That's what I...
He's not real tough.
Yeah.
To say.
He doesn't look tough.
No.
Yeah.
Pillsbury, never has been.
Pillsbury-ish.
He is big.
Yeah.
He's like... He was complaining about his jersey. Oh, I think my jersey's... I don't think the sizing's right. I think they shrunk or something. Yeah. And I'm like, you don't think that big gut has anything to do with your shirt's not
fitting? Can't be that. Can't be that.
Not at all. Yeah. But he's a rodeo clown.
Yeah.
He gets away with it.
What have you been? You've been fighting bulls for what? 15 years?
Oh, longer than that. I think close to 20 now.
What what's the sport like today in 2020 compared to year one?
So year one, man, it was still kind of the same way though. Like, I mean, I was
just from the outside 11, looking in,
12 years
like,
old.
What's like, it look like? Like bullfighters across the board. Like, are there more guys
definitely
freestyling?
There's
then?
So many more people involved now.
Yeah.
I mean, like the sport's growing rapidly.
Why do you think that is?
I think a lot of it's easy over there. Quit throwing stuff around. We're trying to record.
Yeah.
Everybody that don't
throw stuff at us.
Everybody that don't know, Ashley's over here. That's a good coffee cup.
Rummaging
don't be throwing around. That
around.
You can't break it.
Rummaging around in the kitchen.
So.
But
no,
I think
mainstream.
Media?
I think social media, mainstreaming things. Obviously, people can follow people now. I know
more
like,
events going on.
There's just so much more going on in the sports.
How many associations
growing.
Are there? There's BFO. There's Shorty's deals.
Bunch of open deals. Kevin Rich has a deal. I mean, there's three, four different associations.
And they'll each have, what, 10, 12, 15 events each?
Somewhere in there.
And then are there more rodeos now, like San Antonio, that'll fight some at the end?
Man, I honestly think you give it another couple years, especially with somewhere like San Antonio selling the rodeo again with the Fighting Bull. I think just bull riding itself is kind of, I mean, the bulls have gotten so great. I mean, like today we bucked 10 bulls. We didn't ride a single bull. So, I mean, as far as the crowd's perspective, it really wasn't that good because we didn't ride nothing. You know? So you need, there's a fine line there, but also being able to have that Fighting Bull at the end to shell your show on a low-key night of bull riding is huge. And it's happening everywhere because bull power's gotten so great.
Right.
So I think San Antonio doing it, and then there's multiple other rodeos throughout the year that do it. I think it won't be long. I think you'll be seeing bullfighting at every rodeo.
Right.
I really do.
How different do you think it is today than it was like in Leon's prime?
Well, I mean, the difference now is like a guy, like if you're at the top of the food chain, if you're one of the elite guys going up and down the road working 180 or so nights a year, I mean, you can make a legit good living. Yeah. I mean, not going to say we're rich, but I mean,
in the rodeo life's world, good, man.
It's really, really good, and getting to do what I love, getting to travel the country, and at the end of the day, getting to fight bulls, man, is the coolest thing ever. And to, you know, like me and Ashley, we got a cattle ranch at home. We got cows scattered everywhere. Now we're in the fighting bull deal. We've got bull schools going on. Everything is rolling.
So you think there's more money in it now than there was back in his day?
Most definitely. Most definitely. I mean, it was unheard of to get a good check for fighting bulls at that time frame. But back then, a couple $100 is a lot of money then. So, yeah. I mean, it's probably about, I don't know if you'd say the same, but, I mean, a guy can make a good living now, especially if you can get some endorsements, sponsorships. Really makes life good.
Yeah.
But all that comes from showing up day in, day out, putting your best foot forward, and doing the best that you can do every bull.
What about young guys that don't want to freestyle?
That's totally fine, too. I just, my honest opinion of it is you can be a great, great cowboy protection hand, and it's going to take you so much longer to get the process to be in where you can go make a living. And that's basically because it's hard to get seen. Mm-hmm. With the bullfights, everything that's going on, social media. You know, if you're out there freestyling and tearing things up, eyeballs are on you. People are watching you. People are seeing you. And whether they want to admit it or not, freestyle bullfighting will expedite you so much further, quicker. Yeah. But I'm not saying if you're just a cowboy protection guy that you don't have an opportunity or a chance, because, I mean, it's all up to you. Right. How good you really want to be and how far you want to go. But freestyle bullfighting will help you go to the next level that much quicker.
So you put on several schools throughout the year at your house. That's kind of why you have these bulls, these fighting bulls. What do you have guys come to your house and they're like, hey, I just want to learn how to freestyle. I mean, I just want to learn how to cowboy protect.
Well, like, I mean, I put that out there. So like when I'm doing a bull school and I'm taking applicants, you know, that
they
is one thing.
Wanna learn.
That's one thing that I really overemphasize is, this is a more geared to freestyle school, but if you can't freestyle, if you can't take care of yourself, and you can't get around a bull by yourself, then you dang sure are not going to be able to do it with two gate men, a bull rider, a partner, a barrel man, and three judges or whoever's in the arena. If you can't take care of yourself one-on-one, I really don't think you're going to be able to take care of everybody else.
Right.
And that's my honest opinion on the deal, so when I do my bull schools, I really overemphasize that. But to me, I don't like to split the two. I like to it's bullfighting.
Yeah,
we're here to fight bulls, no matter if it's freestyle, cowboy protection, or whatever you want to call it. It's all bull moves that come in with each other that overall you use in both arenas. So,
but so knowing you can step around a hot Mexican fighting bull, then that gives you another level of confidence
on your cowboy protection.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Right.
There's no comparison to it. And I mean, like, even this far into my career and like all the bulls that I fought, all the events I've went to, competitions, everything, still, like, being here, stepping in front of 18 fighting bulls in a row, it still makes the game, cowboy protection game, still slow down that much more.
Yeah.
And at this point, I don't think it can get much slower, but it still does.
Yeah.
So, that it's just that intensity level.
like just the you feel like the ranker the bull, the easier they are to fight?
To a point. I mean, the intensity level is definitely helps because that animal's really coming. He's really charging. Things are happening a lot quicker and going by you, so to say. But then bulls get really smart. And when they're big, they're stout, and they have a lot of game time, they learn the moves and can make it harder.
You ever tried anything else?
No. I mean, I can rope, different stuff.
You think you'd ride a bronc?
No. Never.
Are you scared to?
Yeah. The horses scare the crap out of me.
See, that's the thing. Like, some people are scared of horses. Like, Randy would be terrified.
They terrify. I'd rather ride a bull than get on a horse.
Yeah.
Any day of the week.
But you know that.
I know that.
See, I knew that, and I felt like a responsibility.
I would rather just sit down at a card table to play some rodeo poker. Like,
I knew once I got to the point in bareback riding where I knew that, like, I just didn't like that sound anymore. Because at first I liked that sound. Yeah, I loved that sound.
Cracking a bind.
I guess the thing I loved about bareback riding was the fight that you had to go to, the level of fight you had to go to in your mind to ride good. But then when I realized
it's a fight.
I couldn't turn it on just like a switch. And, like, if you could turn it on 7 out of 10 times, and, you know, that was good. But, like, those other three, and if you just didn't feel it that day.
You're hung up.
Then, stuff could go really wrong.
Bad. Quick. Yeah.
And so, same thing with bullfighting. Like, if you're not in it for 3 or 4 out of 10 bulls over the course of a month, then stuff can go wrong.
Quick.
Or somebody else could get hurt.
And that's the deal, is like when you're fighting bulls, you're not only putting yourself in a predicament, but there's somebody else relying on you.
Yeah.
Because that's your job to do. Yeah. So when you don't show up or you're having a bad day or you're just going through the motions, things get south quick.
Yeah.
So all the viewers, be committed. 100%.
Stay committed.
Stay on it.
I was going to ask you something. Craziest fan moment.
Dude, I'm horrible when you put me on the spot like this. Craziest.
The
guy that cried at Vegas. Yeah, so that was a pretty good crazy moment. So I'm at the South Point in Las Vegas.
Not making fun of this guy.
And I'm not making fun of nobody here. Absolutely not. You're right. But, like, this guy sees me. And, like, I can tell he sees me, and he's at the bar, and, like, he's moving, and next thing I know, he just, I mean, turns over, like, 6 drinks this bartender just made. He's so nervous that he sees me, I mean, just, oh, God, and just dumps them everywhere. So, he gets some more drinks and everything, and then he finds me, and he's come walking up, and he's got these drinks, and he don't even know what I don't hardly drink.
Yeah.
But he's like, hey, man, I got you a drink. And I'm like, man, thanks. Well, he's handing it to me, and, like, he's shaking so bad that it's splashing everywhere. It goes on me, and I'm like, here, let me have both these drinks.
Yeah.
You just stand here.
You calm down.
I'll hold both of these.
Yeah.
And, like, just to take a picture with me, dude, like, he was just, like, in convulsions, shaking so bad. And it was really strange to me because, like, I still see myself as just a kid from Wayne, Oklahoma that loves fighting bulls. I don't see myself as this crazy superstar, I guess to say.
Yeah.
And It's unreal, dude, when people go to that level.
There was also the lady that was waiting on to get the autograph table to take you home.
And, yeah, there's been occasional
ladies. Did you
fight her? No, but somebody
you
else
let him, or you charged her? How much money you got?
Did you charge her?
No, she got scared whenever they said this is his wife, and she just ran away.
Yeah, there's sometimes there's random mothers that come through the autograph line that,
they need a bullfighter to save them.
Yeah, intentionally.
Yeah.
Want to take you to the ranch.
Yeah, shoot the gap. Yep, got it. Dale of a deal.
What about your craziest fan moment?
Man, I don't know. I hate to keep talking about it on these podcasts. That guy that hit me in the nuts the other day.
Dude.
Was pretty across the line.
I can't believe you didn't punch Webb was him.
I'm horrible.
I know, he told
like,
me.
Why did, like, why did I not do something?
Him? Man, it just all happened so fast. He was taking a picture with me. It's like a friendly, you know? It's like, oh, it's just a, you know.
That's it was horrible.
Yeah.
He smoked you in the nuts.
I was, yeah, it made my stomach hurt.
Yeah.
Like one of those. I was like,
bent you over.
I was really mad because I thought he planned it.
If Leroy was there, I think we'd have got kicked out of the Cattlemen's Association benefit, whatever.
Yeah, National NCBA, whatever.
NCBA. What's that stand for?
National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
Beef Association.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
They move it around every year, so it won't be in San Antonio next year. I thought that guy planned it, though, and I was like, that's what really made
me
mad.
He did plan that. And they kept coming back. His friends kept coming back.
I think it's because they felt bad.
Felt
bad. They wanted a picture. Yeah. And that's when I was like, okay, well, if he knows that he's...
wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We can be the bigger men for a minute.
There's all kinds of, like... that was probably the most across the line. Like, I've had some drunk people come up and put their hands on me. But usually, like, they're fans.
Have they ever tried ripping that hair right off your head?
No. A kid did once, but he was like 9. But
unreal.
Yeah. Two, like, you just gotta be careful where you go. Like, if it's nighttime, if I'm in a bar, especially in Vegas, like, that was what was touch and go about the Mirage. Like, I was in VIP, and I wanted to go out in the crowd because, like, some people were there because I was there, you know? And so I was, like, really wanting to, but, man, when it's midnight in Vegas... whether you know me or not, this is a target.
Yeah.
You know,
it changes.
A drunk wants to come up, and if they're a fan and they're drunk, like, I'm cool. I'm still going to try to look for an exit because I don't want any confrontation, but, like...
So, are you a really good fighter? Like...
I don't know, man. I haven't been
you haven't
in one
been
in
tested?
A long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've always wondered that because, I mean, your line of work.
I mean, like I've trained with some MMA guys, and, like... my dad was a boxer, so, like, we would always hit the puncher bag for workouts.
Like, you think you could take Brock Lesnar or somebody like that?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Fair enough.
I could probably take Brock. No, I don't know. I think just, like, anybody. Like, I would just... I don't know. I feel like when, like, in a real street fight, like, there's just not going to be much planning. Not going to be much technique. Not going to be much... You
no.
Know, it's just
there's no
like
form. It's just...
really fast.
It's game time.
Really fast and... be sure you can take a hit.
In theory, I'm a really good fighter in theory.
Oh, yeah, definitely on paper.
Yeah, on paper, yeah. No matches can scare me, but...
I usually just try to make sure Leroy's around.
Reality? Yeah, we need Leroy in the background.
Yeah, he enjoys it. Or did it one time. Enjoy it. And
you know that guy is still... and maybe Leroy hasn't fought in a long time, but you know that in the back of his mind, he can still do it.
Oh, yeah. This guy, last year... in Fort Worth, he went to Kyle Park, and so Leroy spent the night in jail a few times for fighting, and so we're going to Fort Worth, and he told me, he for some reason just randomly, like, we just, he didn't even know he was going to go to the bar the next night, but like, he was just telling me about jail, like, he was in there. And he was just telling me about these guys he met and whatever. And this one guy tried to teach him how to make drugs in the toilet and all this and that. Anyways, and he was just, like, kind of getting emotional about it. And then, like, he was just quiet. So, anyways, the next night, Kyle Park texts him. He's like, hey, come to my show. I'm in Fort Worth, whatever. So, he goes, and he's walking to the bathroom, and this girl just, like, checks him. for some reason, like in the hallway, and like she's drunk, and like, and he just got there, so he might have had one drink, but he had just gotten there. So anyways, and this girl's like, says something to him. He's like, whatever, you know. And he goes in the bathroom, and he's at the urinal, and about 30 seconds later, some frat guy pops in there, taller than him, skinny, and kind of looks, they make eye contact, and he looks back, and he feels weird, and then the guy circles around, and then just comes in and, like, tries to hit him, but kind of, like, misses him, and Leroy just, like, grabs this dude and, like, puts him in a chokehold.
So was his pants around his ankles at this time? Did he have time to get his pants?
Well, I think he had stopped putting his pants around his ankles at the urinals like a few years
ago. No, I'm just saying, like, obviously he's sitting there he gets jumped and his pants fall down. It's like, nobody wants to fight a naked guy.
Dude, I know. This guy was so drunk, he would have thought. Anyhow, long story short, like, Leroy just, like, manhandles this man and, like, puts his face in the urinal and is yelling at him. And he's got his hand on his throat and he's like, if you don't stop, I'm going to kill you. And he was just like, for some reason, I was just, and that's aggressive, but for Leroy to not hit him and actually cause this man harm, he said, and I think it was because just 24 hours later, he was explaining to me, and he was nervous about jail and all that.
Right.
Anyways, there was a bouncer, thankfully, taking a dump and, like, witnessed the whole thing, and he was like, yeah, this guy didn't do nothing, and so he didn't have to go back to jail.
Here, sir, you are leaving. Let's throw you out the door, Leroy. Enjoy.
So, like, that, prior to that, I'd be like, man, I don't know, Leroy's probably gonna, like, throw some bows, you know, but then that story, and I think he would read the situation, especially if he hadn't anything to drink, which he doesn't drink a lot, or not near as much as he used to, but, like, right. He's just so loyal. Dude, he would, like,
bros, I mean,
he,
like,
would,
if you're know. If you're in the family, you're in the family. Dude, that's all that there is would, to be said.
He would, no questions asked. Yeah. Like, not to be
I'm
cool.
entered. I'm here. I'm yeah. entered.
Like, and yeah. because of, like, the loyalty thing and then just a little bit of funness to it. Like, he doesn't have to do it to be cool. Anyway, 7-inch crown. I don't know if you're man enough to wear that.
I don't think so, dude. That's unreal.
Have you been in a fight?
No.
Dude, I just don't want to.
No.
I just don't want to.
I have, but I'm not explaining.
Yeah. I used to have the typical, like, walk around a bar deal where, like,
don't look at me like that. You started the fight, Ashley.
Well, I didn't start the
what
fight.
Year
Second
was this?
Of all, we're not talking about the fight.
Are we talking about the fight or are we not? We don't have to.
No.
We're not
talking about it. Okay. We're
There's
not going to talk
about it. Legalities involved.
So, like, yeah, I used to, you know how, like, when you walk into, like, a bar or somewhere and they're just like,
I'm not a real good fighter, DB, because my nose bleeds so easy.
So it makes you look like a girl.
When I get hit in the nose, I completely lose it. I start doing that, and tears are rolling, but I'm madder than a wet.
You heard it, guys. That's his weak spot.
It's my weak spot.
Just
my nose.
Go to the nose.
I just like look at it wrong, and it'll bleed.
Yeah.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, that was Garrett Kelly Johnson, the third intern I ever had. Just
it doesn't matter.
The shoots, he would just start running blood. Yeah. But, no, I was like, you know how, like, guys are. Like, you go into a bar and everybody's like, whoa, you know. Like,
that's kind of how I am. Like, I'm not bad, but the bad don't mess with me.
Yeah. See, I used to kind of feel like that. And then, like, for some reason, I had this buddy in college. He died. And then I just, he committed suicide. And it was just like, I stopped that. I dropped it. Like, I was just over
He's
it.
He's over it.
Somebody would walk by me in the bar, and I would, like, go up to him, and I'd, like, shake their hand, talk to him. And then, you know, the facade just, like, disappears, you know? That's fun.
Yeah.
Because you never know. Like, that could be your best friend.
You never know, dude.
That could be your future best friend.
I actually don't interrogate or start fights, but in theory, I'm tough. That's it.
Yeah.
Next convo.
Yeah. No more fights. So I think that's probably...
So what about merchandise? Like... I know you've come about it wanting to hook up, do some trading, some swapping on some merch.
No, I just think I got a system. I think, man, it's like we both can help.
Like, you've already
other.
Exposed my idea of the next video on the beach, so I'm just kind of.
I don't mind talking about it. No, like, yeah, Cody Webster brand T t-shirts on DaleBrisby.com. Yeah.
Check it out. It's going to happen.
We've got such a system in Winnebago. We just, like, the girls are there.
Dude, I have yet to see the warehouse.
Oh, you haven't?
The new one. I've yet to see it.
It's fun. It's like Fantasy Factory.
Just something always going on.
I got a warehouse manager. She keeps my books. Like, she could just... I don't even know what we have or what we... Like, this, the t-shirt company, they came... the ones that print them for us, they came 2 weeks ago. And they were like... She was like, yeah, they're taking us to lunch. And I was like, okay, why? And they're like, this is... And then they showed up and they're like, this is like the biggest order y'all have ever placed. And I had no idea. Like, I didn't even know. I was just like out of it. Like, all I do is the videos. Like, I don't even pay attention to...
That's it.
And every now and then it's like...
Well, but dude, you know, it's so great. Sell. It's so great, the spotlight that you put on rodeo and the impact that you have on kids.
Yeah.
Kids is something that's really been coming to my mind of like I was a kid growing up, I always had like rodeo bloopers and 8 seconds. You go to a Western store, you see cowboys, Lane Frost, Tubby Edmund, and all them guys on the wall. Things have changed now. So like there's not really, I'm so thankful that they're airing pro rodeo on national TV again.
No kidding.
The PBR is on national TV, but
I think just like the bullfighting, you're right. Like everybody talks about like cowboy way of life and cowboy, not only rodeo, but Western, you know, cowboy and also like it's not dying.
No.
Like in 5 years, like everybody, there's going to be more cowboy hats. There's going to be more rodeo cowboys. There's going to be everything.
It's growing. I feel like it's growing.
It's blowing up.
And it's so awesome
to be part of it. Like, and if people can't see like what our true intentions and hearts are, then they're just not looking hard enough.
Yeah.
They're not intelligent enough. But like most people, even 9-year-olds.
To have little old 6-, 7-, 5-year-old kids come up to you.
Yeah.
And like.
Like that first.
Say they check out your YouTube channel. They like your videos. Parents coming to you, thanking you for having content that kids can watch.
That very first video.
We're winning.
Very first video. Like, it's like we were just joking around in there. And so like I was acting like I was drinking a beer. And like we just said some things. And it was like PG-13 at best, you know. But still not like our normal. But like we didn't know what we were doing. I didn't even know he was going to put it on YouTube. You know, and then after that, my mom was like, well, can my second graders watch it? And I said,
No,
they can't watch the first one, but they can watch every one after this.
After that.
And so that's been like 500 videos.
So bravo to you on that, dude. Yeah. That's
no, I appreciate it. That's you legit. Too, man. You're doing the same thing.
It's legit.
That's what I know. That's why we had to get together, because like, there's not a lot of people just... There's 5 or 6 other people actively putting out content in the Western industry, you know. But... I don't know, every little bit helps. So
now, if we can keep giving back to the what's give us so much, man, it's a good day.
That's what I know. All right, man. Well, thanks for the podcast.
Thanks for having me on, DB.
We're on to the next one. San Antonio today.
Got a perf here in like
you better get ready
an hour
for that.
Or so.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming by the Matador.
Pow pow, son.